Confessor. Worried whispers drifted through the cold air. And I am a wizard, her wizard. Eyes as far as she could see widened, jaws dropped. Mabungrid's face slackened a little. He glanced to the sword.
Wizard? You?
Wizard. Richard's angry glare swept across the gathered men. Wizard, I command the magic, the gift. It would seem, old fool, your false spirits have lied to you. They said the Mother Confessor had no wizard. They sent one of yours to start a war the Mud People do not want. They have used you for their own purposes. Perhaps a wise spirit guide would have known this. Perhaps an old fool would not. Grumbling broke out among the men. If you persist in this, if you disobey the Mother Confessor, I will use my magic to destroy you. I will use terrible magic to burn the Bontoc's land to ashes and put a blight upon it for all time. Each Bontoc will die a horrible death, a death by my magic. I will kill every last Bontoc, young and old. His cold gray eyes returned to Mabungrid. But I will start with the old.
Magic? Mabungrid whispered. You would kill us with magic?
Richard leaned closer. If you disobey the Mother Confessor, I will kill you all with magic more frightful than anything you can imagine. As the men all listened in rapt attention to her translation, Richard recited a litany of horrors he would bring to them. Most of the things she remembered Zed telling a mob that had come to kill him when they thought he was a witch. Richard was using the same things now to scare the Bontoc. The more he spoke, the wider their eyes became. Mabungrid's gaze left the sword and returned to Richard's face. He looked less sure of himself, but wasn't entirely ready to concede.
The spirits told me there was no wizard with the Mother Confessor. Why should I believe you are a wizard?
All of the anger left Richard's face. She had never seen him hold the sword without the fury of the sword's magic in his eyes. There did seem to be something in his eyes, but it wasn't hate or rage. He looked at peace. Somehow, it was more frightening than the anger. It was the peace of a man committed to a course. In the dim dawn light, the blade of Richard's sword changed. It began to glow white, white hot with magic. It brightened until no one could miss seeing the bright white luminescence. Richard was using the only magic he knew and could depend on, the magic of the sword. It was enough. Fear swept the crowd. Men fell to their knees, dropping their weapons, muttering for forgiveness, beseeching the spirits to protect them. Others stood frozen, not knowing what to do. "Forgive me, old man," Richard whispered. But I must kill you to save a great many more lives. Know that I forgive you and regret what I must do.
As she translated, Kaelin put a hand on Richard's arm to keep him from doing anything.
Richard, wait, please give me a chance.
He nodded slightly. One chance. Fail, and I kill him. She knew he was trying to scare the Bontoc, to break the spell they seemed to be under. But he was scaring her, too. He was beyond the rage of the sword to something worse. She looked back to the spirit guide.
Mabungrid, Richard will kill you. He does not lie about this. I have asked him to wait so I may grant you my forgiveness, if you will see the truth of what we say. I can ask him not to kill you, and he will do as I ask, but only once. After that, I will have no control over him. If you are insincere in your change of heart, there will be much death and suffering. Richard is a man of his word. He has made a promise to you, and if you try to trick him with your answer, he will keep his promise. I give you this one chance to hear the truth. It is not yet too late. The Mother Confessor does not want any of her people to die. Every life in the Midlands holds dear value in my heart. But sometimes I must let a few lose their lives so that many more may live. I will hear your answer.
The men all stood stooped,
and still. They looked as if they had gotten themselves into something they no longer wanted. The Bontoc were a peaceful people, and they seemed to regret their foray, even seemed confused by it. Richard had succeeded in giving them a bigger fright than whatever brought them to this. The breeze fluttered the dry grass, and in its passing pulled a stray wisp of hair across her face. Kaylin reached up and pulled it back as she waited. With eyes that seemed to have gone empty of passion, Baban Grid searched her face. The spell had been broken. His voice came soft and sincere.
I heard the spirit speak. I thought they were speaking the truth. It is as he says. I am an old fool.
He looked around at his silent men.
The Bontoc have never before sought to bring death to others. We will not start now.
He bowed his head and pulled his medallion over his wispy gray hair. He brought it up in both hands, offering it to her.
Please, Mother Confessor, give this to the Mud People. Tell them it is given in peace. We will start no war with them.
He glanced over. Richard returned the sword to its scabbard. Maban Grid looked back to her.
Thank you for stopping us, for stopping me from listening to false spirits and doing terrible things.
Kaylin bowed her head to the old man.
I am thankful I was able to serve in time to prevent anyone from being hurt.
Richard glanced to her. Ask him how the spirits convinced him to do something against the nature of his people. Maban Grid, how did the spirits put the lust for war in your heart? The lust for killing? He stared off, unsure.
Their whispers came to me in the night, made me feel the need. I have felt an urge to violence before, but never acted on it. This time, it seemed I could not hold it back. I had never felt this need so strongly before.
The veil to the underworld, the spirit world, is torn. Whispers spread back through the men as she told them Richard's words. False spirits may seek to speak to you again. Be on guard against them. I understand how you were tricked, and will hold no anger against you for it, but I expect you to be more cautious now that you have learned the truth and have been warned.
Thank you, wizard.
Maban Grid nodded.
I will make it so.
Did the spirits' voices tell you anything else? The old man frowned and thought,
I don't really remember their voices telling me what must be done. It was more of a feeling that filled me with the need. My son,
he looked up,
the one who died, he was with me and heard them also. I felt that the spirit spoke differently to him somehow. His eyes were wild with hate, even more than mine. He went as soon as we were visited by the spirits.
His gaze sank to the ground. Richard regarded the spirit guide a long moment. His voice came softly.
I am sorry, Maban Grid, that I had to kill your son. It wounds my heart to have done so. Know that had there been any other path, I would have taken it.
The old man nodded, but couldn't bring forth words. He looked around at his men. He seemed suddenly ashamed.
I don't know what we are doing here, he whispered. This is not the Bontoc way.
It is the fault of false spirits. I am glad we were here to help you see the truth of it, Richard said. He nodded again and turned to his men, looking about at them, and then walked off toward their homeland. Kaylin let out a heavy sigh. Richard watched warily as the Bontoc plodded off into the sunrise, dragging spears behind.
What do you make of that?
She asked when he turned to her at last. He rested his hand on the hilt of the sword and turned to watch the Bontoc.
The Keeper is getting ahead of us.
He looked back to her eyes. He has taken the effort to discredit you, to discredit the Mother Confessor. He is laying traps for us. He has plans, and I don't have the slightest idea what they are.
What are we going to do?
What we plan to do. Tonight we have the gathering, and tomorrow we are married and leave for Aidendrill. She studied his face.
You really are a wizard, she said softly. You used magic to break the Keeper's spell.
His expression didn't change.
No, I'm not. It was just a little trick Zed taught me.
He said once that people are more afraid to die from magic than anything else, as if they would somehow be more dead. I used that fear and the wizard's first rule to make them believe it. It was a stronger fear than the one the spirits gave them. And what of turning the Sword of Truth white? He regarded her a long moment. Do you remember when Zed showed us how the sword works? How it couldn't harm anyone you think innocent? She nodded. Well, he was wrong. When it is white, you can kill anyone. Anyone. Even one you know to be innocent. Even one you love. His eyes hardened. I hate magic. Richard, the gift has just helped you save the lives of many people. At what cost? He whispered. Whenever I even think of turning the sword white, all I can remember is how I did it to you, how I almost killed you with it. But you didn't. Almost doesn't make bread rise. That doesn't stop the pain of it. Or of having killed with the sword's white magic, and of knowing what I am capable of. It makes me feel like a Rawl. He let out a heavy breath and changed the subject. I think we had better be very careful at the gathering tonight. Richard, this puts a new light on things. We have been warned twice now of the danger of dealing with the spirits. Won't you reconsider the gathering? He looked away. What choice do I have? The Keeper seems to be ahead of us. Events are moving fast. The more we find out, the more we realize we don't know. We must learn what we can. But maybe the ancestor spirits won't be able to help us. Then we will have learned something. We can't pass up the chance. Too much is at risk. We have to try. He gently took her hand. Kaelin, I can't allow myself to be responsible for this, to know it's my fault. She waited until his eyes came up. Why? Because Darkin Rawl is your father? You think you are responsible because you are a Rawl? Maybe. But Rawl or not, I can't be responsible for the Keeper having everyone. For having you. I have to find a way to stop it. Darkin Rawl haunts me from the grave. Somehow I have caused this. I don't know how, but it's my fault. I have to do whatever it takes to stop it or everyone will suffer, and the Keeper will have you forever. That thought scares me more than anything in my life has ever scared me. It wakes me with nightmares. There isn't anything I wouldn't do to stop him from getting you. I won't take a chance of missing anything, no matter the risk. I have to have the gathering. His gaze held hers. Even though I fear it might be a trap, I have to try. A trap? You think it might be a trap? It could be. We have been warned. At least we can be alert for it. He looked down at her hand in his. I won't have the sword in the gathering. Do you think you can call down the lightning if you have to? Kaelin shook her head. I don't know, Richard. I don't know how I did it. It just happened. I don't know how to control it. He nodded as he rubbed the back of her hand with his thumbs. Well, maybe you won't have to try. Maybe the ancestor spirits will be able to help us. They helped us before. Richard reached up and gripped the Aegil. His gray eyes were filled with the pain of the headache. He sank down and put his head in his hands as she sat next to him. I have to rest a while before we go back. The headache is killing me. She feared he was right, that the headache really was killing him. She ached for the next day, when they could get to Zed, get to help. It was late afternoon by the time they returned to the celebration, the banquet. Richard's head was a little better, but still hurt him enough to leave the pain in his eyes. The elders stood as the two of them approached the open pole shelter. The birdman stepped forward. What of the Bontoc? Did you see them? There has been no word from Chandelin. Kaelin held the gold medallion out to him and let it drop in his hand when it came up. We found them, to the north, as Richard said we would. Mabon Grid sent this as a gift to tell the Mud People that the Bontoc will not make war with them. They made a mistake and are sorry. We made them see that the Mud People mean them no harm. Chandelin has also made a mistake. The birdman nodded solemnly and turned to a hunter standing nearby, telling him to bring back Chandelin and his men. Kaelin didn't think he looked as pleased as she thought he would be. Honored Elder, is something wrong? His brown eyes seemed heavy. He glanced to Richard and back to her. Two of the Sisters of the Light have returned. They wait in the spirit house.
Kaylin's heart jumped. She had hoped they wouldn't be back so soon. What had it been, only a few days?
She turned to Richard. The Sisters of the Light are waiting in the spirit house.
Richard sighed. Nothing is ever easy. He addressed the Birdman. Tonight is the gathering. Will you be ready?
Tonight the spirits will be with us. We will be ready.
Be careful. Take nothing for granted. All our lives depend on it. He took her arm. Let's see if we can put a stop to this.
They walked together across the field, past the roar of the fires. People were still everywhere, eating, dancing, playing the boldas on drums. There were fewer children about. Some were off napping, but some still managed to dance and play.
3 days, he muttered.
What?
It has been 3 days almost since they were here last. I will send them away, and tomorrow we will be gone. When they come back in another 3 days, we will have been in Adendril for two.
She stared ahead as they walked. That is, if they keep to the same schedule. Who says they won't show up for the third time after only 1 day or 1 hour?
She could feel his eyes on her, but she didn't look over when he spoke.
Are you trying to make a point?
You only get 3 chances, Richard. I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid of the headaches.
This time she did look over, but he didn't. I won't wear a collar. Not for any reason, not for anyone.
I know, she whispered.
He yanked the door open and strode into the spirit house. His jaw was set with determination, his eyes fixed on the 2 women standing in the center of the dimly lit room as he marched up to them. Both wore their cloaks with the hoods pushed back. Their faces, in mild frowns, seemed almost calm.
Richard stopped in front of the 2.
I have questions and I want answers.
We are glad to see you are still well, Richard, Sister Verna said. Still alive.
Why did Sister Grace kill herself? Why did you allow it?
Sister Elizabeth stepped in front of Sister Verna. She held the open collar in her hands.
We told you before, discussion is over. It is by the rules now.
I have rules too.
With his fists on his hips, he looked to each woman in turn. My first rule is that neither of you is going to kill herself today.
They ignored him.
You will listen. I, Sister of the Light Elizabeth Merrick, give the second reason for the Radahan. Give the second chance to be helped. The first of the 3 reasons for the Radahan is to control the headaches and open your mind, so you may be taught to use the gift. You have refused the first chance to be helped. I bring the second reason and offer.
She watched his eyes as if to be sure she had his full attention.
The second reason for the Radahan is so that we may be able to control you.
Richard glared at her.
Control me? What does that mean, to control me?
It means what it says.
I'm not putting a collar around my neck so you may control me.
He leaned a little closer, or for any other reason.
Sister Elizabeth held the collar up. As you were told before, it is more difficult for you to accept the second offer. Please believe us, you are in great danger. Your time is running out. Please, Richard, accept the second offer now on the second of the 3 reasons and offers. It will only be much more difficult to accept on the third of the 3 reasons.
There was something in his eyes Kaylin had seen only once before, the last time the collar was held out to him. Something alien, something frightening. It sent a chill through her. Goosebumps rose on her arms. The anger left his voice.
I told you before, he whispered.
I will not wear a collar, for anyone, for any reason. If you want to teach me to use the gift to control it, we can talk about it. There are things going on you know nothing about. Important things, dangerous things. I have responsibilities as the Seeker. I am not a child like you are used to dealing with. I am an adult. We can talk about it.
Sister Elizabeth stared at him with fierce intensity. Richard retreated a half step. His eyes closed, and he shook slightly. At last he straightened. His eyes came open as he took a deep breath. He returned the sister's stare. Something had happened, and Kaylin had no idea what it was. The strength in Sister Elizabeth's eyes waned. Her hands lowered the collar. Her voice came in a fearful whisper.
"Will you accept the offer and the Radahan?"
Richard stood staring at her. The power was back in his voice. "I refuse." Sister Elizabeth went pale as she stared back for a moment before turning to the woman behind her.
"Forgive me, sister. I have failed."
She put the Radahan in Sister Verna's outstretched hand. Her voice came in a whisper.
"It is upon you now."
Sister Verna kissed her on each cheek.
"The light forgives you, sister."
Sister Elizabeth turned back to Richard, her face gone slack.
"May the light cradle you always with gentle hands. May you someday find the way."
Richard stood with fists on his hips as he watched her eyes. She lifted her chin. As Sister Grace had done, she brought her arm up and with a flick of her wrist brought the silver-handled knife to her hand. Richard continued to watch her as she flipped it around toward herself. Kaelin watched, holding her breath, spellbound, as the woman prepared to kill herself. The silence seemed thick. For a heartbeat, everyone was stone still. The instant the knife began to move, Richard did too. His speed was shocking. Before Sister Elizabeth realized what had happened, Richard had her by her wrist. His other hand came up and began prying the odd knife from her fingers as she struggled to keep a hold of it. She was no match for his strength. "I told you my rule. You are not allowed to kill yourself today." Her face twisted with futile effort.
"Please, let go."
Her body flinched. Her head jerked back. There was a flash of light that seemed to come from within her, from within her eyes. Sister Elizabeth crumpled forward to the ground. Sister Verna pulling her own knife from the woman's back as she fell. Sister Verna's gaze rose from the dead woman to Richard.
"You must bury her body yourself. If you let another do it for you, you will have nightmares for the rest of your life. Nightmares caused by magic. There is no cure for them."
"You killed her. You murdered her. What's the matter with you? How could you kill her?"
She tucked her knife up her sleeve as she glared at him. She reached out, snatching the silver knife from his hand, and slipped it in her cloak.
"You killed her," Sister Verna whispered.
"Your hands have the blood on them."
"So does the executioner's axe, but it doesn't wield itself."
Richard lunged for her throat. She didn't move. She simply continued to stare at him. His hand stopped before reaching her. Richard shook, straining against an invisible barrier as she watched him. In that instant, Kaelin knew what the sisters were. Richard relaxed the pressure of pushing against the barrier. He pulled his hands back a little. He visibly relaxed. Gently, his face gone calm, he reached one hand toward Sister Verna. His fingers clutched around her throat. Her eyes went wide with shock.
"Richard!"
she whispered angrily.
"Take your hand from me."
"As you have said, this is no game. Why did you kill her?"
His weight came off his feet. Richard floated a few inches into the air. He tightened his grip on her throat. When he didn't release her, fire ignited all around them, roaring to life, a whirl of flame closing around them.
"I said, take your hand from me."
In a moment more, the fire would consume Richard. Before she realized what she was doing, Kaelin had her fist out toward the sister. Blue light crackled around her wrist and hand. Little threads of blue lightning escaped from the sides as she struggled to restrain herself from releasing the bolt of power. Wisps of blue fire sizzled forth, throughout the spirit house, up the walls, across the ceiling and floor, everywhere except where the other two stood. She shook with the strain of holding back the power.
"Stop it!"
The threads of blue lightning sucked the fire into them.
"There will be no more killing today."
The blue light extinguished. Silence again filled the room as Sister Verna stared at Kaelin. A hard edge of anger stole into her eyes. Richard settled to the ground and took his hand from the woman's throat.
"I wouldn't have harmed him. I only meant to frighten him into releasing me."
She turned her glare to Richard.
Who taught you to break a web?
No one taught me. I taught myself. Why did you kill Sister Elizabeth?
You taught yourself, she mocked. I told you this is no game. It must go by the rules.
Her voice lost its edge.
I have known her for many years. If you had ever turned that sword of yours white, you would understand what it took for me to do as I did.
Richard didn't tell her he had turned the sword white.
You would expect me to put myself in your hands after what you have done?
Your time is running out, Richard. After what I have seen today, I would be surprised if the headaches don't soon kill you. I don't know why it is that the pain hasn't already put you down. Whatever is protecting you won't last much longer. I know you don't like to see anyone die, neither do we, but please believe that what is done for you to save you.
She turned to Kalin. Be very careful with that power of yours, Mother Confessor. I doubt you have the slightest idea how dangerous it is.
Sister Verna pulled her hood up as her brown eyes turned to Richard.
You have been offered the first and second of three chances and refused. I will return.
She leaned a little closer. You have only one chance left. If you refuse it, you will die.
Think on it carefully, Richard.
After the door closed behind Sister Verna, Richard squatted next to the dead sister.
She was doing something to me. Magic, I could feel it.
What did it feel like? Richard shook his head a little.
The first time they were here, I thought I felt something pulling me to accept their offer, but I was so afraid of the collar I paid it no attention. This time it was much stronger. It was magic. The magic was trying to force me to say yes, to accept the offer from the sisters. I just thought about the collar until the force left, and I was able to say no.
He looked up at her.
You have any idea what's going on? What she was doing, and what Sister Verna did, with the fire and the rest of it?
Kalin's hand still tingled from the blue lightning.
Yes, the sisters are sorceresses.
Richard rose smoothly to his feet.
Sorceresses.
He watched her eyes for a long moment.
Why would they kill themselves when I said no?
I think it is to pass their power on to the next sister, to make her stronger for when they try again. He looked down at the body.
Why would I be so important that they would kill themselves to get me?
Maybe it is as they say, to help you. He glanced at her out of the corner of his eye.
They don't want one man, a stranger, to die, yet two of them have already died trying to get me to accept their help so a life wouldn't be lost? How does that add up?
I don't know, Richard, but I'm so scared it hurts. I'm afraid they could be telling the truth, that you don't have much time, and the headaches are killing you. I'm afraid you won't be able to control them much longer.
Her voice broke with emotion. I don't want to lose you.
Richard slipped his arms around her.
It will be all right. I will bury her. The gathering will be in a few hours. Tomorrow we will be in Adendrill, and then I will be safe. Zed will know what to do.
She could only nod against his shoulder.
Chapter 16. Kalin sat naked in the circle with eight naked men. Richard was to her left, painted, as were she and the elders, with the black and white mud except in a small circle in the center of his chest. In the dim light coming from the small fire behind her, she could see the wild jumble of lines and swirls sweeping diagonally across his face. They all wore the same mask, so that the ancestors' spirits might see them. She wondered if she looked as savage to him as he looked to her. The unfamiliar acrid smell from the fire made her nose itch. None of the elders scratched their noses. They only stared at nothing and chanted sacred words to the spirits. The door slammed shut by itself, making her jump. The birdman's distant eyes came up. From now, until we are finished, near dawn, no one may go out, no one may come in. The door is barred by the spirits. Kalin didn't like the idea that, as Richard had said, this could be a trap. She squeezed his hand more tightly. He returned the squeeze. At least, she thought, she was with him. She hoped she could protect him. She hoped she could call the lightning if she had to. The birdman fished out a frog and then passed the woven basket to the next elder. Kalin stared at the skulls arranged in a circle in the center as each elder took a frog and began rubbing its back against the bare circle of skin on his chest. As they did so,
each rolled his head back and chanted different words. Without looking over, Savinlin passed her the basket. Closing her eyes, she reached inside and finally caught a squirming, kicking spirit frog. Its smooth, slimy skin was revolting. Swallowing hard and taking a mental grip on her confessor's power to try to keep from releasing it unintentionally, she pressed the frog's back to the skin between her breasts as she passed the basket to Richard. Tingling tightness spread across her skin. She freed the frog and took up Richard's hand once more as the walls began to waver, as if seen through heat and smoke. Her mind tried in vain to hold on to the images of the spirit house around her. They drifted away as she felt herself spinning around the skulls. Soft sensations caressed her skin. Light danced from the skulls in the center and filled her eyes. Sounds of the boldas and drums and chanting filled her ears. The pungent smell from the fire filled her lungs. As once before, the light from the center brightened, taking them into it, into the silken void, spinning them around. And then there were shapes around them. Kaelin remembered them, too, from before, the ancestors' spirits. She felt a gossamer touch on her shoulder, a hand, a spirit hand. The birdman's mouth moved, but it wasn't his voice. It was the joined voices of the ancestors' spirits, flat, hollow, dead. "Who calls this gathering?" Kaelin leaned toward Richard and whispered, "They want to know who calls this gathering." He nodded. "I do. I call this gathering." The touch left her shoulder and the spirits all floated from behind them into the center of the circle. "Speak your name." The echo of their voices sent ripples of pain along the skin of her arms. "Your full and true name. If you are certain that you wish this gathering, despite the danger, speak the request after your name. You get but this one warning." Richard stared at her translation. "Richard, please, I have to." He looked back to the spirits in the center and took a deep breath. "I am Richard." He swallowed and closed his eyes for a moment. "I am Richard Rawl, and I request this gathering." "So be it," came the empty whispers. The door to the spirit house crashed open. Kaelin jumped with a little shriek. She felt Richard's hand flinch, too. The doorway stood open, a black maw in the soft light around them. The elders all looked up, their eyes no longer glazed with the distant vision. They seemed confused, dazed. The spirit voices came again, this time not through the elders, but from the center, from the spirits themselves. The sound of it was even more painful than before. "All but the one who calls the ancestor spirits may leave. Leave while you still can. Heed our warning. Those who remain behind with him risk forfeiting their souls." They turned as one to Richard. Their voices were a hiss. "You may not leave." The elder's frightened eyes flicked around to each other as she translated for Richard. Kaelin knew this had never happened before. "Everyone out," Richard whispered. "Have everyone get out. I don't want them hurt." Kaelin looked to the birdman's worried eyes. "Please, all of you, leave now, while you can. We don't want harm to come to any of you." The elders all looked to the birdman. He stared at her a moment, glanced at Richard, and then back to her. "I can offer you no guidance, child. This has never happened before. I don't know what it means." Kaelin nodded. "I understand. Go now, before it is too late." Savinlin touched her shoulder, and then the elders vanished as they walked through the black void of the doorway. She sat in the quiet with Richard, with the spirits. "Kaelin, I want you out of here, too. Go, now." His voice was calm, almost cold. Fear danced in his eyes, and magic. She watched his face as he stared at the spirits. "No," she whispered. She turned once more to the center. "I will not leave you, not for any reason. Though no words have been spoken over us, we are joined in our hearts by my magic. We are one. What happens to one happens to both. I am staying." Richard didn't look over. He continued to stare at the spirits as they floated in the center of the room above the skulls. She thought he would yell at her to leave. He didn't. His voice came soft and gentle. "Thank you. I love you, Kaelin Amnell. Together, then." The door banged closed. Kaelin jumped, and a little sound escaped from her throat before she could catch it. Her heart pounded in her ears. She tried to slow her breathing, but couldn't. She swallowed instead. The image of the spirits dimmed.
"What you have called forth, Richard Rawl, we cannot stay to witness. We are sorry."
Their forms seemed to evaporate as she watched. As they vanished, the light went with them, until the two of them were left in total blackness. She could hear the slow crackle of the fire off beyond that blackness, Richard's quick breathing, her own breathing, and nothing else. Richard's hand found hers. In the darkness, they sat together, alone, naked. As Kaylin began to think, to hope that nothing was going to happen, she became aware of a slight brightening in front of her. There was light beginning to glow. Green light. A shade of green light she had seen from only one place. The underworld. Her breaths came in ragged pulls. The green light brightened, and with it, distant wails. From the air all about came an ear-splitting crack, like a clap of thunder, sudden, hard, painful. The ground shook with the impact of it. From the center of the green light, a white brilliance oozed through, to coalesce into a form and stand before them. Her breath caught in her throat. The fine hairs on the back of her neck stood out stiffly. The white form took a step closer. She only dimly realized Richard's grip on her hand was hurting her. Kayla knew the white robes, the long blonde hair, the painfully handsome face that stood before them, smiling that small, gruesome smile.
"Dear spirits, protect us," she whispered.
It was dark and raw. As one, she and Richard came slowly to their feet. The glowing blue eyes watched them rise. Relaxed, unhurried, Darken Rawl brought a hand up and licked his fingertips.
"Thank you, Richard, for calling me back."
His cruel smile widened.
"How thoughtful of you."
I didn't call you back," Richard whispered.
Darken Rawl laughed a quiet laugh.
"Once again you make a mistake. Call me back, you did. You called a gathering. A gathering of ancestors' spirits. I am your ancestor. Only you could have brought me back through the veil. Only you. I denounce you. Denounce me all you will."
He held his arms out, out in the white light around him.
"I am still here.
But I killed you." The glowing, shimmering, white-robed form laughed again.
"Killed me? So you did. And you used magic to send me to a different place, a place where I am known, a place where I have friends. And now you have called me back, again with magic. Not simply called me back, Richard, but torn the veil further to do so."
He slowly shook his head.
"Is there no end to your stupidity?"
Darken Rawl seemed to float, and at the same time walk toward Richard. Richard let go of Kaylin's hand as he backed away. She couldn't make her legs move to go with him. Richard's eyes were wide.
"I killed you. I defeated you. I won. You lost."
The blonde head nodded slowly.
"You won a small battle in a timeless war by using the gift and the wizard's first rule. But in your ignorance, you violated the wizard's second rule, and in so doing, you have lost it all."
His slow, wicked smile came back.
"Such a shame. Didn't anyone ever tell you magic is dangerous? I could have taught you, could have shared it all with you."
He shrugged.
"But it doesn't matter. You have helped me win even without being taught. I couldn't be more proud of you."
"What is the wizard's second rule? What did I do?" Rawl's eyebrows lifted as he took another step closer.
"Why, Richard, don't you know? You should," he whispered. "You have broken it a second time today, and in violating it a second time, you have torn the veil once more a second time and brought me here, so that I might tear it the rest of the way and free the Keeper."
His mocking smile returned.
"All by yourself."
He gave a taunting laugh.
"My son, you should never have meddled in things you don't understand."
"What do you want?"
Rawl drifted closer. "You, my son. You."
His hand began to rise toward Richard.
You sent me to another world, and now, in turn, I am going to send you there. You are for the Keeper. He wants you. You are his.
Without even realizing it, Kaelin's fist was up, the Kandar igniting in the depths of her being. Rage exploded through her, and blue lightning erupted from her fist. The dark void around them was ripped away in a fury of light and sound that shook the ground under her feet. The spirit house was back, lit by the blue bolt as it arced toward Darkenrall. Effortlessly, his hand came up, deflecting the strike. The bolt of lightning split. One shaft blasted through the roof, into the black sky, sending a shower of tile fragments raining down. The other fork struck the ground, throwing dirt, hurtling everywhere. Darkenrall's eyes met hers. His gaze seared her very soul. He smiled the most wicked smile she had ever seen. It seemed to make every fiber of her being ache. She tried to call forth the power again, but nothing happened. He had done something. Kaelin tried, but she couldn't move a muscle. Richard seemed as paralyzed as she. Her world was collapsing in a frightening rush.
Richard! She wailed in her mind. My Richard! Oh, dear spirits, don't let this happen!
His eyes burning with rage, Richard managed to take a step forward. But Darkenrall put his hand to the left side of his chest above his heart, stopping him stone still.
I mark you, Richard, for the Keeper. With the Keeper's mark, you are his.
Richard threw his head back. His scream seemed to rend the very fabric of the air and tear her heart and soul with its despair. Kaelin felt as if she died 1,000 deaths in that instant. As Darkenrall held his hand to Richard's chest, wisps of smoke curled away. Kaelin's nostrils filled with the stench of burning flesh. Darkenrall pulled his hand back.
The price of ignorance, Richard. You are marked. You are the Keepers now. Now and forever. The journey begins.
Richard collapsed like a puppet whose strings had been cut. Kaelin didn't know if he was unconscious or dead. Something held her up, but it wasn't her legs. It was the strings held by Darkenrall. He glided closer to her. He loomed over her, crushing her in blinding brilliance. Kaelin wanted to shrink away, to close her eyes, but she could not. Finally, she regained her voice.
Kill me, too, she whispered. Send me where you have sent him, please.
His glowing hand reached toward her. The agony in her heart tore her mind senseless. His fingers fanned open. His touch on her flesh sent fire and ice through her in a wave of shock. The hand pulled back.
No.
Darkenrall's pitiless smile spread anew.
No, that would be too easy. Better to let him see what happens to you. Better to let him watch helpless.
The smile showed teeth for the first time.
Better to let him suffer it.
His eyes had an intensity that seemed to impale her. It was the same frightening glare Richard had inherited.
You live for now. Soon enough you will twist in a different pain, living and dead.
He whispered in a measured, merciless tone.
He will watch forever. I will watch forever. The Keeper will watch forever.
Please, she cried, send me with him. A finger reached out and touched a tear. The pain of the touch made her flinch.
Since you love him so much, I will give you a gift.
He turned and drew his arm smoothly through the air in Richard's direction. His frightening blue eyes returned to her.
I will let him live a short time longer, long enough for you to watch, as the Keeper's mark bleeds the life from him, bleeds his soul from him. Time is nothing. The Keeper will have him. I give you this spark of time in forever to watch the one you love die.
He leaned toward her. She struggled to back away but couldn't. His lips left a kiss on her cheek. The pain of it sent a silent shriek through her and filled her mind with a vision of being raped. Luminous fingers lifted her hair from her neck. His mouth was by her ear.
Enjoy my gift, he whispered intimately. In time I will have you too. Forever. Between life and death. Forever. I would like to tell you how much you will suffer, but I am afraid you would not be able to comprehend it.
Soon enough I will show you.
He gave a whispering laugh in her ear.
After I have torn the veil the rest of the way and freed the keeper.
As she stood helpless, he left another kiss on her neck. The horror of the visions it seared through her mind left her feeling defiled beyond anything she had thought possible.
Just a tiny taste. Goodbye for now, Mother Confessor.
As he turned from her, she was able to move again. She snatched desperately for the power. It wouldn't come. She cried and shook as she watched him glide through the doorway of the spirit house and disappear. And then she collapsed to the ground with a wail of agony. Convulsing in ragged sobs, she clawed across the dirt to Richard. He lay on his side, away from her. She pulled him over on his back. His arm flopped to his side, limp. His head rolled toward her. He looked ashen, dead. On his chest was a burned handprint, the keeper's mark. The blackened skin was cracked and bleeding. His life, his soul, was bleeding away. She fell on him, clutched at him, as she wept and shook uncontrollably. Kaelin gripped her fingers into a fist in his hair and pressed her face against his cold cheek.
"Please, Richard," she cried in choking sobs. "Please don't leave me. I would do anything for you. I would die in your place. Don't die. Don't leave me. Please, Richard, don't die."
She crouched against him, her world ending, dying. She could think of nothing to do other than cry that she loved him. He was dying, and she could do nothing to stop it. She could feel his breathing slow. She willed herself to die with him, but death wouldn't come. She lost all sense of time. She didn't know if she had been there a few minutes or a few hours. She didn't know what was real anymore. It all felt like a nightmare. With trembling fingers, she stroked his face. His skin was dead cold.
"You would be Kaelin."
She spun around, sitting up, at the sound of the woman's voice coming from behind her. The door to the spirit house was closed again. In the darkness, a white spirit-like glow towered over her. It appeared to be a spirit, a woman, her hands clasped in front of her. She watched with a pleasant smile. Her hair, as best as Kaelin could make of it, was plaited in a single braid. "Who are you?" The figure sank down to sit in front of her. The spirit had no clothes, Kaelin could make out, but didn't appear to be naked either. The woman looked at Richard. A gaze of both longing and anguish came over her fair features. The spirit turned to Kaelin.
"I am Denna."
The shock of the name and her proximity to Richard brought Kaelin's fist up in a jerk. Lightning screamed to be released. Before Kaelin could let it go, Denna spoke again.
"He is dying. He needs us, both of us."
Kaelin hesitated.
"You can help him?" "We both can, maybe, if you love him enough."
Kaelin's hopes flared.
"I would do anything, anything."
Denna nodded.
"I hope so."
Denna looked back to Richard and tenderly stroked his chest. Kaelin was a blink away from releasing the power. She didn't know if Denna was trying to hurt him or help him. She hoped against hope. This was her only chance to save Richard. Richard took a deep breath. Kaelin's heart leapt. Denna withdrew her hand and smiled.
"He is still with you."
Kaelin lowered her fist a little and wiped tears from her cheek with the fingers of her other hand. She didn't like the look of longing Denna had as she watched Richard. Not one bit.
"How did you get here? Richard couldn't have called you. You are not his ancestor."
Denna turned, her small, dreamy smile fading.
"It would be impossible to relate it to you accurately, but perhaps I could explain it enough that it would help you to understand. I was in a place of darkness and peace. It was disturbed as Darkenrall passed through. His passing through is something that is not supposed to happen. As he neared, I sensed that Richard had somehow called him and enabled him to pass from where he was, held by a veil, and to come here. I know Darkenrall all too well, and I knew what he would do to Richard, so I followed him. I would never have been able to pass through my own veil, but by latching onto him, I was able to come through too, to follow in his wake. I came because I knew what Darkenrall would do to Richard. I don't know how to explain it better."
Kaelin nodded. She wasn't seeing a spirit. She was seeing a woman who had taken Richard as her mate. The power boiled angrily inside her. She struggled to put it down, telling herself that this was to save Richard. She didn't know any other way. She had to let Denna help, if she could. Kaelin had said she would do anything, and she meant it. Even if it was not to try to kill someone who was already dead. Someone she wanted to kill 1,000 times and then 1,000. Can you help him? Can you save him? The Keeper's mark has been placed upon him. The mark will take the holder to the Keeper. If another's hand is placed over the mark, it will transfer to them and take them instead in his place. Richard will not then be pulled to the Keeper. He will live. Kaelin knew in that instant what she must do. Without hesitation, she leaned over Richard, stretching her hand out. Then I will take the mark. I will go in his place so that he will live. She spread her fingers to match the black mark. Her hand was only a scant inch above it.
Kaelin, don't do that.
She looked over her shoulder. Why? If it will save him, then I am willing to go in his place.
I know you are, but it is not that simple. We must talk first. It will not be easy for either of us. It will hurt both of us to really help him.
Kaelin reluctantly sat back down and nodded. She would have agreed to anything, paid any price, even talking to this woman. She put a hand protectively on Richard as she sat facing Denna. How do you know who I am? Denna grinned, almost laughed.
To know Richard is to know who Kaelin is.
He told you about me? Denna's smile faded.
In a way, I heard your name countless times. When I heard him until he was delirious, he cried your name. Never another. Not his mother's nor his father's. Only yours. I heard him until he didn't know his own name, but he always knew yours. I knew he would find a way to be with you despite your confessor's power.
A little of her smile came back. I think Richard could find a way to make the sun rise at midnight.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I am going to ask you to help him, and I want you to understand exactly how much you will be hurting him before you agree to it. You must understand what it is you will have to do in order to save him. I won't trick you into doing it. It must be done with your full knowledge. Only in that way will you know how to save him. If you don't understand, you could fail. He is in danger from more than this mark. He is sick with a madness. Madness I put there. It will kill him as surely as will the Keeper's mark.
Richard is probably the most sane person I know. He has no madness. It is the mark we must remove.
He is marked in other ways. He has the gift. I knew from the moment he came to kill me. I can see it in him now, the aura of it. I know it is killing him, and I know his time is very short. I don't know how long, only that there is not much time left. We can't save him from the Keeper just to have him die anyway from the gift.
Kaelin nodded as she wiped her nose on the back of her hand. The Sisters of the Light say they can save him. They say he must put a collar on to save himself. Richard will not put it on. He told me what you did to him, why he won't wear a collar. But Richard is not crazy. He will see in the end what must be done and do it. That is the way he is. He will see the truth.
Denna shook her head. What he told you does not scratch the surface of it. You cannot imagine what he has not told you. I know his madness. He will not tell you the rest of it. I must.
Kaelin's anger boiled. I don't think it would be wise for you to tell me. If he doesn't want to tell me, then I don't think I should know it.
You must. You must understand him if you are to help him. In some ways I understand him better than you. I have taken him to the edge of madness and beyond. I have seen him in a wasteland of insanity. I have stood over him and held him there.
Kaelin glared. She recognized the look in Denna's eyes when she looked at Richard. She didn't trust her.
You love him.
Denna stared at her.
He loves you. I used that love to hurt him. I took him to the brink of death and held him there on the cusp. Others would bring a man to the edge faster, but they couldn't hold him there. They always went one step too far too quickly and killed them, ending it before they could extract the most exquisite pain.
inflict the cruelest of the insanity. Dark and Rawl chose me because I had a talent for keeping them alive and giving them that pain, and then more, and then even more. Dark and Rawl himself taught me. I had to sit for hours sometimes and wait, knowing that if I touched him just once more with the Aegil, it would be one touch too many. It would kill him. As I sat waiting for him to recover enough so that I might hurt him more, he would whisper your name over and over for hours. He wasn't even aware he was doing it. You were the thread that kept him alive. It was the one thread that allowed me to give him that extra pain, allowed me to take him further toward death, deeper into madness. I used his love for you to punish him beyond anything otherwise possible. As I would sit there listening to him whisper your name, I wished it would once, just once, have been my name he called out. It never was. I hurt him more for that than for anything else. Tears ran down Kaelin's cheeks, falling from her face. Please, Denna, I don't want to hear any more. I can't bear to hear any more. To know I made it possible for you to do what you did. You must. I have not yet even begun to tell you what you must hear if you want to help him. You must understand how I used magic against him, why he hates the magic within himself. I understand because what I did to him was also done to me by Dark and Rawl. As Kaelin sat shaking, staring blankly at nothing, almost in a trance, Denna began telling her what she had done to Richard, how she had used the Aegil. She flinched at the description of every kind of touch, at everything it could do. Kaelin remembered all too well what its touch felt like, the maddening pain. She learned that what she had felt was the least of it. She cried as Denna told her how Richard had hung in shackles as she pulled his head back by his hair and made him stay perfectly still while she pushed the Aegil in his ear or risked damage inside his head, and how he had been able to do it because of his love for Kaelin. She shook when she heard the horrifying description of what it did to him, what the magic did to him, what his own magic did to him. She couldn't look at Denna as the other spoke, couldn't meet her eyes, and that was only the beginning. She clutched her stomach and held a trembling hand to her mouth to keep from vomiting as Denna described one unspeakable act after another. Kaelin couldn't make herself stop crying. She gagged as she closed her eyes tight. As she listened, she prayed to the good spirits that Denna wouldn't tell her the one thing she knew she couldn't bear to hear. But then Denna told her. Told her what a moored Sith did to her mate, why their mates didn't live long. Every intimate detail. And what she had done to Richard, that she had done to no other mate. With a wail, Kaelin turned away, crawled a short distance, and started throwing up. With one hand holding herself up and the other across her abdomen, she cried and heaved and gagged. Denna's hands were there, holding her hair back as Kaelin emptied the contents of her stomach onto the dirt. She vomited until her insides were heaved dry. She felt Denna's warm, tingling touch on her back. She wanted to call forth the lightning, but was too sick to find the power. She was torn between wanting to throw herself on Richard and comfort him, and ripping this woman apart with the magic of the Khandar, the blood rage. Between gagging and panting and crying, Kaelin managed to get the words out. Take your hands off me! The hand holding her hair slipped away. The one on her back lifted. Her stomach heaved again in a dry convulsion. How many times did you do that to him? Enough. It does not matter. Kaelin turned in a rage, clenching her fists as she screamed. How many times? Denna's voice was soft and calm. I'm sorry, Kaelin. I don't know. I didn't keep a tally. But he was with me a long time. Longer than any other mate. I did it almost every night. The things I did to no other because none had the strength Richard did. The strength of his love for you. The others would have died the first time. He fought me for a long time. I did it enough, that's all. Enough.
Enough. Enough for what?
Enough to drive a part of him mad.
He's not mad. He's not. He's not.
Denna watched as Kaelin shook with pain and rage. Kaelin, listen to me. Anyone else would have been broken by what I did. Richard saved himself by partitioning his mind. He locked the core of himself away where I couldn't get to it, where the magic couldn't get to it.
He used the gift to do that. It saved the core of himself from the insanity. But in the darkest corners of his mind lurks madness. I used his magic against him to drive him insane. He couldn't protect all of himself from the things I did. I told you what I did so you could see the truth of his madness. He had to sacrifice that part to save the rest. To save the rest for you. I wish I could have done the same when it was done to me.
Kaylin lifted Richard's hand in hers, holding the back of it to her heart.
How could you do those things? She cried. Oh, my poor Richard. How could you? How could you do that to anyone?
We all have our own little bits of insanity, some more than others. My life was a darkness of it.
Then how could you? How could you, knowing what it was like?
Denna watched her from under her eyebrows. You have done terrible things, too. You have used your power to hurt people.
But they were people guilty of horrible crimes.
All of them? She asked quietly. Everyone? Kaylin's breath caught with the memory of using her power against Brophy.
No,
she whispered.
But I didn't do it because I wanted to. I had to. It is my job, who I am, what I am.
But you did it. And what of Dem and Nas? The words cut through her. Her mind flooded with a memory, the sweet memory of castrating that beast of a man. She sank forward with a wail.
Oh, dear spirits, am I no better than you?
We all do what we must, whatever the reasons. Her glowing, diaphanous fingers lifted Kaylin's chin. I do not tell you these things to hurt you, Kaylin. The telling of them wounds me more than you can know. I tell you because I want to save Richard so that he doesn't die before his rightful time, and so that the Keeper does not escape. Kaylin clutched Richard's hand tighter to her breast as she wept.
I'm sorry, Denna, but I don't have it in me to forgive you. I know Richard does, but I do not. I hate you.
I would not expect you to forgive me. I only wish you to understand the truth of what I am telling you, the truth of Richard's madness.
Why? To what purpose?
So that you will understand what you must do. Wearing a collar is the core of that insanity. It symbolizes everything I did to him. In his mind, magic is madness, torture. A collar is madness, torture, insanity. The thought of having a collar around his neck brings that madness out of the darkest corners of his being, brings out his deepest fears. He is not exaggerating when he says he would rather die than put a collar around his neck. He will not do it to save himself. If he doesn't, he will die. There is only one thing in the world that will make him put on the collar.
Kaylin's head snapped up. Her eyes were wide.
You want me to ask him to put a collar around his neck?
She went weak with dread.
You would have me do that to him, after what you have told me?
Denna nodded. He will do it if you tell him to. He will not do it for any other reason. None.
Richard's limp arm slipped from Kaylin's shaking hands. Her fingers covered her mouth. Denna was right. After what she knew now, what she had heard, she knew Denna was right. She knew now what it had been that she had seen in Richard's eyes when he looked at the collar the sisters held out to him. It had been madness. Richard would never put a collar around his neck of his own accord. Never. She knew that now. Really knew it.
A small cry escaped her throat. If I make him put on the collar, he will think that I have betrayed him. In his madness, he will think I want to hurt him.
Pain welled up inside her, and she started to cry all over again.
He will hate me.
Denna's voice came in a soft whisper.
I am sorry, Kaylin. That could be the truth of it. We can't know for sure. But he may very well see it that way. I don't know how much the madness will take over when he knows he must put on the collar. When you tell him he must. But he loves you more than life itself, and will put it on for no other reason.
Denna, I don't know if I could do that to him, not after what you have told me.
You must, or he will die. If you love him enough, you must do this. You must be strong enough in your love for him to force him to do it, knowing the pain it will bring him. You may have to act as I would have acted to frighten him enough to do as you say. You may have to bring the madness to full flower, Make him think the way he did when he was with me, when he would have done anything he was told. You may lose his love, he may hate you forever, but if you really love him, you will see that you are the only one who can help him, the only one who can save him.
Kalin snatched desperately for a way out.
But in the morning, we were going to go to Zed, a wizard who might be able to help him control the gift. Richard thinks Zed will know what to do, that he will be able to help him.
That may be true. I'm sorry, Kalin, I don't know the answer to that. It may work, but I do know that the Sisters of the Light have the power to save him. If they come and he turns them down for the third time, he will forever lose the opportunity to get their help. If it turns out that this wizard can't help Richard, then he will die. His time is short, days at most. Do you understand what that means, Kalin? He won't just die. The Keeper will have him, have everyone. Richard is the only one who can close the veil.
How? Do you know how he can close it?
I'm sorry I don't. I know only that it must be torn the rest of the way from this side. That is why the Keeper has agents on this side. That is why Darkenrall came here. Somehow Richard is the only one who can stop them and also the only one with the power to repair what has been rent. If he turns the Sisters down and this wizard can't help him, then he dies soon, and it will be as if the Mark itself took him to the Keeper. If he can get to this wizard before he turns the Sisters down for a third time, he can learn whether he can be helped without them, without the collar. But if they come before he can get to Zed, I must have your promise you will do what must be done to save him.
There is time. The Sisters won't be back for at least a few days. We can get to Zed first. There is time.
I hope you are right. I really do. I'm sure you won't believe me, but I don't want Richard to ever have to wear a collar, to ever face that madness again. But if you can't get to Zed, then you must promise me you won't allow him to miss the chance at life the Sisters offer.
Tears streamed from Kalin's burning eyes. Richard would hate her if she made him put on the collar. She knew he would. He would think she had betrayed him.
But what of the mark? He still has the mark on him.
Denna watched her a long time. Her voice came so softly Kalin could scarcely hear it.
I will take the mark. I will go to the Keeper in his place.
A shimmering tear ran down her cheek.
But I will only do it, I will only give up my soul if I know it gives him a chance.
Kalin stared incredulously.
You would do that for him? She whispered. Why?
Because after all I had done to him, he cared about my pain. He is the only one who ever did anything to stop my pain. When Darkenrall beat me, he cried, and he made a